fact, he calls it here in verse 28, this is my blood of the New Testament. We say that word all the time, don't we? We got the Old Testament, we got the New. What's different? The Old was there in type and picture, prophecy, promise. The New is the fulfillment. This is the New Testament. That word testament means will. It wasn't something that was a second thought, new in that sense, but newly revealed, newly fulfilled. That's the way to see it. It's not like, oh, all of a sudden, okay, we got to come up with plan B, so this is what's new. No. It was purposed from all time, but now accomplished. So the New Testament, which is shed for many, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins, for the actual putting away of sins. You hear the word Passover? That was forbearance. God passed over the sin. When you see in the Old Testament that word atonement, it means a covering. The blood of bulls and goats could not put away sin. To say that sin was put away before Christ put it away is to deny what the scriptures teach. If that were the case, then why speak of a New Testament of his blood? There's some that way. Well, it was done in eternity, so it's done. There's a reason our Lord is showing here. No, there's something new that's taking place here. It's the fulfillment of all that those prophecies of the Old Testament foretold. Several things here that we can see. It shows, first of all, that great compassion in the Apostle Paul. I know we think of him as being a hard man. We think of him as when he traveled around, we read some of these epistles, and yet we know and understand he was very weak in bodily appearance, evidently, from what he said when he wrote the Corinthians, as Brother David has been reading for us. His letters were strong, but in personal appearance, there was something about him that caused people to wonder, you know, is this one of the Lord's servants? And yet we see here a great compassion, not of himself, but again, God wrought, that moves him not to think it below himself to be concerned even with this one servant. I think about how the Lord deals with us as sheep, that we often think of the strongest sheep. That's where our minds go. And yet the Lord's attention is on the weakest and on the smallest. And this is an area where the Lord continues to teach me. And that is, you can only move the Lord's sheep along just as fast as that weakest sheep. But how often we become disgruntled and upset and impatient with somebody that may be the Lord's, and yet we don't see the particular progress in them that we think we ought to see. That's sort of a condescending, not sort of, it is a condescending attitude on our part, when in reality, whoever it is, we ought to be commending them to the Lord, and I believe manifesting this same compassion. You ever find yourself fighting God's providence and endeavoring to have things turn out the way you want to for your own sake? When David had called him, that is Uriah, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. Don't you know that was God directing even in that? Because he was drunk. And David's thinking, I'll get him drunk and send him home. Nope. Even in that, the Lord restrained him. For what purpose? That in this, because God is the one who directs all things, even through the evil of men's thoughts and hearts, and I dare say even the evil of our own heart, making it manifest, in the end, he's going to get the glory.